It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. I hope this is still going out. It looks like it. So, thanks so much for tuning in. Let's go ahead here and just talk about some news. It's 1900. This is news to me. And I've got a new aggregation of news stories, so hopefully we'll have a wide breadth of stories. And I've got the microphone closer to my face, so hopefully there aren't a lot of S's. I also accidentally ordered a $700 motorcycle part, so I'm waiting for the site to call me back, so hopefully my phone doesn't go off during the program. But we're gonna try and keep it chill, stay mellow, you know? So let's get Monday going. So first up, Mother Jones, famous far left magazine, is reporting that the Department of Homeland Security says that the Border Patrol may be coming to your town. So the Trump administration says that the Department of Homeland Security can occupy downtown Portland, tear gas protesters, and arrest people on city streets with little explanation. Critics say that's fascist. DHS says it's a model to take on the road. With as much lawbreaking as going on, we're seeking to prosecute as many people as are breaking the law as it relates to federal jurisdiction. Acting Homeland Security Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli told NPR on Friday, "That's not always happening with respect to local jurisdiction and local offenses, but you know, this is a posture we intend to continue not just in Portland, but in any of the facilities that we're responsible for around the country." In Portland, DHS, defying the express wishes of elected officials, appears to be using the fig leaf of defending federal property to preserve President wish to forcibly suppress unrest. In what critics call clearly unconstitutional behavior, camouflage-clad officers, Mother Jones reported on Friday that they are Border Patrol agents, have arrested protesters, allegedly without identifying or explaining themselves. They've used tear gas and shot projectiles from paintball guns at protesters. So the article goes on probably twice as long as I've been talking, but the gist is just that the mysterious police that were putting putting bags over people's heads and throwing them in Enterprise rented rental vans is from Border Patrol. So that's what Mother Jones is reporting. So let's look at something else here. Let's get something a little less sad, or a little less controversial, maybe. It's probably still controversial. This is off of the Progressive, and this site here, international students can exhale briefly. So on July 6th, U.S. ICE stunned international students, saying that if the college or university was online only, they had to leave. So here's the story. Resistance to the policy was swift. 2 days later, Harvard and MIT filed a joint lawsuit calling the reversal of a March exemption to online class limits arbitrary and capricious. Around 60 institutions filed amicus briefs in support. On July 14th, in a surprise twist, the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees ICE, withdrew its latest directive and reinstated the exemption. The reversal leaves many asking why the change was ever made in the first place. It was likely part of President Trump's push to force schools to reopen despite the growing spread of COVID-19. So, or perhaps our mercurial leaders was just trying to gaslight higher education international students. As noted in the lawsuit, the effect, and perhaps even the goal, is to create as much chaos for universities and international students as possible. So, there you go. So, yeah, students aren't going to have to get deported now. That's positive. You know what? I'm noticing a distinct slant here. So let's swing back over and let's pick up some news from a less wild source. Now, this site, I kind of like this site. I want to share it with everyone. It's called allsides.com. And what's neat about it is each headline, it gives you a left source, a right source, and a center source. And then you can kind of read the same news story from each side, which is kind of nice. And it ranks the far left or center, how extreme they are. So it's pretty cool. So anyway, I wanted to share that site, but I'm just going through. So this was an interesting one that's not so sad and comes from the Dispatch. So a number of viral Facebook posts claim that it's illegal for business not to accept cash for goods or services. The posts further claim that when it's turned down, the debt is legally recognized as paid. It's one of these kind of like the, what are they called? Sovereign citizens, and the people who think that the government, when you're born, gives someone, opens an account in your name, but you have to withdraw it by spelling your name with proper capitalization or whatever. Similar kind of thing, where they're like, yeah, if you go in and you try to pay with cash and they say no, then it's paid for, the debt's forgiven. And the Treasury went ahead and cleared that up for everyone. What they've got here is Section 31 of U.S. Code 5103 says that U.S. coins and currency, including Federal Reserve notes and circulating notes of Federal Reserve banks and national banks, are legal tender for all debts, public charges, taxes, and dues. While the law recognizes physical currency as legal tender, that status does not make accepting such currency mandatory. The Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve website even says, sorry, it wasn't the Treasury, it's the Federal Reserve System. There is, however, no federal statute mandating that a private business, a person, or an organization must accept currency or coins as payment for goods or services. Private businesses are free to develop their own policies on whether to accept cash, unless there is a state law which says otherwise. Likewise, the Department of Treasury website says the same thing. Oh, that's where I got it from. And gives the same line, example of a bus line prohibiting payment of fares in pennies or dollar bills, or a movie theater refusing large notes. So there you go. So that's something. Sorry, I was kind of reaching for a right site story there. But it's good. Life is good. I feel like I'm a bit hyped. I'm going a little fast. But we're trying to calm it down. So let's look at one other thing here. Oh, here's a nice... let's keep it domestic, and then we'll play a song, and then we'll do some more stuff. So here's something. So you may not have known, but recently, I think on Friday, the Trump administration shifted COVID data from going to the CDC and DHS to just going to the DHS. Well, just as the number of people hospitalized for COVID-19 approaches new highs, hospital data in Kansas and Missouri is suddenly becoming incomplete or missing. The Missouri Hospital Association reports that it no longer has access to the data it uses to guide state coronavirus mitigation efforts, and Kansas officials say their hospital data may be delayed. The administration this week directed hospitals to change how they report data to the federal government and how that data will be made available. In an email, Missouri Hospital Association spokesperson Dave Dillon called the move a major disruption. All evidence suggests that Missouri's numbers are headed in the wrong direction, Dillon said. And for now, we will have very limited situational awareness. That's all very bad news. So, just some of the fallout, I guess, from the data change. It's just some hospitals can't get the data or don't have access to it. It's a bit rough. Speaking of having access to data, I found a CD sampler. Now, what's neat is, so back in the pre-internet days, or before the internet was widespread, you would, record companies, especially smaller ones, they would have a sampler, and you could write them, and they'd send you a tape or a CD even, which is what I got, but they'll send you this sample, and it'll have like 7 or 8 of their artists with 1 or 2 of their songs on it. And it's like, oh, cool. That way you can hear what they sound like and decide if you want to buy the CD or tape or whatever. So anyway, I got an NG Records sampler, and I really loved it in the early 90s. And then I forgot about it, and it's just been sitting in a notebook while I was cleaning. And I found it, and I ripped it. And so I've got 2 songs from there. This first one is called Son of an Astronaut, and it's by a band called Butterflies. And I think this is early 90s. It's a pretty cool song, though. I hope you like it. Is the audio output level about the same?
When it's over, nothing stops dissolving. That's the treadmill. That's the tape loop mill. On the tombstones, there should be punchlines. In the white room, where they laugh so. I'm the son of an astronaut. I'm the son of an astronaut. I'm the son of an astronaut. And I'll never be loved like that.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
All right. Well, that was Son of an Astronaut, and that's one of my favorite songs from when I was in high school. Let's talk about a couple international stories. So, first up, new, another COVID-19 story. Another country has introduced some fines for not wearing a mask. France 24 is where I'm reading this from. France introduced a fine for failure to wear a mask in enclosed public spaces. Public spaces. People in France will risk a fine of 135 euros, so $154 US, starting Monday for failure to comply with a new decree to wear a mask in public places indoors, the government announced. As officials noted signs of an uptick in virus circulation, Prime Minister Jean Castex, on Thursday said masks will become compulsory in enclosed public spaces for the next week in a bid to prevent a second wave of the virus. Masks are already required on public transport, punishable with a fine of the same amount, in a country that has lost over 30,150 people to the epidemic. On Saturday, the health minister said the new obligation will enter into force on Monday, that's today, and will apply to shops and supermarkets, covered fresh produce markets, banks, and other establishments that receive members of the public. And on Sunday, yesterday, the health department announced contraventions can be punished with a fine of up to 135 euros, almost double the price of a monthly Paris public transport pass. For people working in communal offices, the government has said employers will have to judge the need for mask wearing on a case-by-case basis. So, there we go. So, that's going on in France. Let's keep on rolling. Now, this is a little heavier story. It's coming out of The Guardian. And this is... I normally don't like opinion pieces, but I think this is an opinion piece it's an opinion piece because of how it fits in with the news, I guess. Anyway, I think it's worth checking out. So this is The Guardian, and this is from... this is titled, "In Nigeria, Colonial Thinking Affects Everyone. It's Time We Found New Heroes." And it's written by Eniola Anuolawapo Soyemi. Oh. "I will work on my output. Thank you, Jasmez, for your help." So, Jasmez is in Com, and if you're in Com in 1900 to 1930 UTC, you can hang out too and do live chat. So, I'll read just the first, like, two or three paragraphs here, because this is a long one, but... "A few weeks ago, I sat in the pediatric ward of a private hospital in Lagos, waiting on my then 10-week-old son's vaccinations. In the waiting room, all toys and loud crashing from U.S. cartoons, I took in the sight of a Nigerian woman, her body tinged with the telltale redness of poison bleached skin. Two beautiful babies sat in car seats at her feet. I exclaimed, 'You had twins!' I had recognized her from a few weeks before, each of us in the final throes of pregnancy. 'I actually had triplets,' she grinned. On cue, her Nigerian husband emerged from the doctor's office carrying their third child. Awestruck, my son in my arms, I congratulated her on her strength. She looked closer at my son and beamed, 'He is beautiful.' 'Thank you,' I agreed naively, not realizing where our conversation was headed. 'Look at how light he is,' she continued. My heart sank. 'His father must be white,' she persisted. I confirmed my husband was a white man from the United Kingdom. 'My son will get darker and be just as lovely.' 'Uncomfortable,' I tried to control the conversation. 'Even if he gets darker, he will still be light and beautiful,' she effused. 'The greatest trick colonialism plays is to convince us it has really left.' My son began to cry. I was thankful. I comforted him in the language I speak to my children, leaving English to everyone else." And I can try, but this is going to be butchered. "Pele ma binu oti fe ya kamalole." And myself in Yoruba. She spoke again. "Don't talk to this fine boy in Yoruba, please." Her words completed my dejection. "You must have a girl," she went on. "Can you imagine a girl with that skin and long hair, too?" My spirit had sunk too low to tell her that I also had long hair that grows thickly up, not down. Smack you back, coily triple black. So let's see if we can scroll down to the conclusion here. We are in Nigeria, beginning to unmask the villains of our present predicament. They're not just the colonials, every one of them, but those also among our historical elite who aided and abetted colonialism. Some, like the traitor Madame Tinubu, we have unsoundly memorialized, though by her wickedness we should have known they were not heroes. And our heroes? So, this is pretty rad, but it's definitely worth reading the whole thing. I thought I could summarize it, but it just doesn't have the same power. So, let's go ahead and throw one more song out there, and then we will close up with some lighter stuff. Now, this is a song called Mr. Softy. It's off of that same CD sampler. The artist's name is GZ Barrel, and it's about 3 minutes. Shout out to S&J on the road.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Alright. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed the tunes of the 90s today. So, I've got a few different stories I've pulled up that I think are cool, that are less... Oh, death and destruction. They're still... Like all my news, I guess, is a little dark, but I just wanted to throw a few things out there. So this is from Rewire.news, which is another independent news article source that I've been reading a bit. So, basically, a watchdog group, here's the article, a watchdog group wants the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to put a stop to anti-choice organizations from marketing an unproven, in some cases dangerous, procedure known as abortion reversal. Campaign for Accountability, a nonprofit organization focused on public accountability, a lot of accountability in there, sent a letter to the FDA on Wednesday asking the agents to seize the websites of any entity improperly marketing an unapproved procedure known as abortion pill reversal. Previously, a watchdog group has blown the whistle on anti-choice and anti-LGBT groups, misuse of personal data and privacy within their Google and Apple apps. The letter references Abortion Pill Rescue, the American Pregnancy Association, and Obria Medical Clinics as a few of the websites that make the procedure, market the procedure. Abortion Pills Rescue website states that abortion reversal is an effective process that can reverse the effects of the abortion of a pill and allow you to continue your pregnancy. The websites are operated by Heartbeat International, which runs a network of crisis pregnancy centers, which those are the fake like counseling sites. They're often run by churches. Abortion rights opponents have pushed the reversal of medication abortion. What? That's worded poorly. Anyway, a two-drug regimen taken within the first 10 weeks of pregnancy found that 99% of people don't regret their abortion 5 years after undergoing the procedure. The unproven process consists of taking a hormone, which can supposedly reverse the effects. So, the article goes on. It's not that medical abortion is dangerous, he says. It's not completing the regimen and encouraging women, leading them to believe that not finishing the regimen is safe, that's really dangerous. So this is basically the process. The procedure is you take a pill and then you take another pill. But the reversal group, this is like an unstudied and like considered dangerous by doctors process, is to not finish and take some other pills, and then sure, maybe it'll work. So this is not a safe solution. I've got one other story. We've got about 2 minutes to condense it, so let's just see if I can. I picked too long. Stories I picked are too long. Too long. Sorry about that. Where'd you go? Oh, here it is. Almost everything in moderation? New research by Princeton's Andy Guess finds that Democrats and Republicans read a lot of the same news sources. Most American news consumers aren't isolated in echo chambers, and most don't read that much about politics anyway. The outliers, with the most polarized political media diets, however, are more likely to vote in primary and general elections, and the fact that the people are reading a lot of the same news doesn't mean they're processing it or sharing it differently. Guess started out with 2015 and 2016 data, and he found that most rely on centrist media, including mainstream portals like MSN.com or AOL.com. So then, basically, the article is all about how people aren't living in echo chambers, they just interpret the news differently. So, I mean, that's cool. It's almost 1930, which means that it's time to go.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.